Welcome to a Wednesday crossover edition on the Locked On Podcast Network. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. Aaron Freeman, Locked On Falcons. Man, Aaron, here's the thing. I'm going to do this right away. When I look at the Falcons roster, I get excited. I mean, there's we live in the desert, but we're also dried up with talent out here, it seems like, as well in Arizona. And you guys seem to have a fun team to watch with just some, you know, studded stars: Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman. What the hell is going on out there, man? Why you guys only got 4 wins?
Yeah, man, you would think on paper that this is a fun team, but they have been anything but fun over these last 5 weeks as they've lost 5 in a row. One of the things that happened earlier this season is their offense was one of the best offenses in the league, and some of the question marks surrounding Steve Sarkisian going into this year after a lackluster 2017 seemed to be answered. And then suddenly, sort of coming off the heels of a big, impressive win against the Redskins in Week 9, this team has basically just fallen off of a cliff offensively. And you know, they just have been anything but fun watching them on Sundays, and it's caused me a lot of frustration and whatnot, having to sit here and talk on Locked On Falcons about this team that is just beyond anything close to entertaining and whatnot.
Yeah, it seems like the offense has fallen flat, and then earlier in the season it was the defense, but consistently you can see lack of a pass rush with a relatively healthy defensive line. And with Dan Quinn being a defensive-minded head coach, is there any talk about Dan Quinn, his status, and as far as just the defense and its inability to get to the opposing team's quarterback, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you know, the issue with Dan Quinn is the seat is warming up. I don't, you know, all the talk has been that he's going to be relatively safe, and it may be more sort of some of his assistants, particularly offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian, defensive coordinator Marco Emmanuel. There may be some shuffling there, as well as some other assistant coaches. And so Dan Quinn will sort of avoid, you know, any sort of direct threat to his job security, at least after this season. But based off of how this team has sort of responded in the back half of the season and looking like a team that could wind up going 0-8 in the second half of the season, and obviously, you know, their best chance to avoid that 0-8 skid is probably this week against your Cardinals team. But it is one of those things where, you know, the defense has been disappointing. There was a lot of expectations going into the season, and a lot of the things that I talked about on Locked On Falcons over the last couple of months was this team would go as far as its pass rush would take it. Unfortunately, they've been sort of ravaged early in the season by injuries, and that caused them to sort of struggle early in the season and led to a number of shootouts that they lost some close games there. But one of the things that the expectations was in the second half of the season with the return of a healthy Deion Jones that they would be better. But one of the consistent problems has been they just haven't been able to generate a pass rush. And so even with all the injuries, the defense is certainly disappointed that even you imagine if they had remained healthy this season, they still would have been a little bit underwhelming due to the inability to create pressure on opposing quarterbacks.
That's Aaron Freeman, Locked On Falcons. Follow him on Twitter at FalcFans, F-A-L-C fans. Follow me at Clancy's Corner and Bo at Bob Rack, Locked On Cardinals contingent over here. So right now, looking a little macro, because really this game is this game will directly lead, will have an effect on exactly what I'm about to ask you. So the Falcons are slated to get the 4th overall pick in next year's draft. The Cardinals slated to get the 2nd. With what you have discussed about the pass rush, do you see any chance that Mr. Blank will make a move like he did for Julio Jones and trade away a package of picks to move up to number 1 or number 2 to get Nick Bosa?
Well, it's funny because, you know, you definitely know your season hasn't gone right when we're talking about potentially trading up for the draft this early.
We've been doing this since week 5, dude. So yeah, welcome to the party.
I understand. I know. It's a new experience for me. I haven't experienced it in quite a while. It's been a while since the Falcons have been this bad. So I think there is a decent chance. You look at some of the top pass rushers in this draft, like Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams and Ed Oliver. Basically, the Falcons need, whether it's an edge rusher or an inside guy, the Falcons need some help regardless of where they go. So I think if they do find themselves sort of on the outside looking in at some of those guys, you may be able to throw a guy like Kentucky's Josh Allen in the mix as well at the top of the draft. So I feel like the Falcons, at least now, sort of looking at that top four pick, are sitting reasonably comfortable where they could be in the range to get one of these top pass rushers in this upcoming draft. But certainly, I think, given sort of how the draft winds up going, they may be looking to move up if possible to get the best possible guy.
Yeah, the game at hand doesn't seem to be of much interest between both of these fan bases, just because of how bad the struggles have been for both of these franchises, the Cardinals and the Falcons. Has there been any discussion, because there's certainly been around here, you know, whether or not Josh Rosen should be in the starting lineup taking his lumps? Really, when you look at this Cardinals lineup, there aren't much beyond Rosen where you'd say, man, is it really worth it to run him out there? Mm-hmm. But with the Falcons, you could, I mean, Alex went through the whole lineup of great players that they have. Matt Ryan's having arguably one of his best seasons of his career, which is crazy. Was it 8 seasons in a row? He's gone over 4,000 yards passing. Julio Jones is putting together an incredible season. He's gone over 1,400 yards so many seasons in a row. Is there any chatter that maybe, hey, we set these guys down, don't risk them any injury in a lost season, and just kind of not necessarily tank, but not exactly put your best effort forth week in and week out to round out this 2018 campaign?
There has certainly been a lot of talk amongst fans and some members of the media about that, but I don't think that's anything that the team is willing to do. I think, you know, with owner Arthur Blank, he's a little bit demanding. His MLS soccer team just won the championship there. He's desperately been trying to bring a championship to Atlanta. And although you can certainly make a compelling argument that, you know, tanking and getting the best, highest pick possible and saving some of these key players for next season and not risking them to injury makes a lot of sense in terms of their long-term future, I do think for the short term, with Dan Quinn trying to prove, to sort of cool down the seat potentially that he's going to have going into 2019, basically the team finishing as strong as possible will certainly help allay some concerns going into next year that they can try to build some momentum to get things back on track over these next 3 games.
Crossover Wednesday, Locked On Cardinals, Locked On Falcons. On the other side, we'll talk a little bit more about Matt Ryan and if that's what we're looking forward to with Josh Rosen a couple years down the road. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Aaron Freeman, we'll be right back. Welcome back. Crossover Wednesday, Locked On Podcast Network. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals, Aaron Freeman, Locked On Falcons. Follow Aaron on Twitter at FalcFans. Follow me at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Brack. So this is the time of the podcast where I have to divulge some information to you, Aaron. I've been calling Matt Ryan Matty Puddles for the last 4 years because ice melts under pressure. And I seem to have so it came to a head, and we're not going to talk about this because you talk about this every crossover, I'm sure. With the 28-3, I'm like, man, I will have to retire that name. It's my favorite name to call anybody in sports, and it's not really a dig. It's just the truth. So when they ended up losing that, I was most excited just about that I could still use that name in perpetuity. So, I mean, it rolls off the tongue, right?
I mean, it is pretty clever. I don't know if I'm going to ever use it, but it is pretty clever.
I appreciate that. And we'll gloss right over that. So Matt Ryan... So what is the thought process with Matt Ryan and the fans in Atlanta? All joking aside, he's a top 7 quarterback, at least numbers-wise. And, you know, he was the one of the 3 guys that got paid that money before he took a snap coming out of Boston College on draft day, or, you know, a couple weeks after draft day, that actually lived up to the hype. What's the thought process with him around the city of Atlanta?
Well, I mean, you're always with these high-profile quarterbacks, and particularly in a city like Atlanta, who doesn't necessarily have the hardware to sort of go with some of the recent success they've had. And certainly Matt Ryan has been the most successful quarterback the Falcons have had in franchise history. And, you know, with these high-profile quarterbacks, you're always going to have some people saying, oh, they can't win the big one. It's basically a game of no quarterback is capable of winning a Super Bowl until they actually go out and win a Super Bowl when it comes to this league, by and large. And so there is sort of talk of sort of, you know, Matt Ryan's overpaid and whatnot. And whenever the team struggles or whenever he has a bad performance, you know, those sort of narratives come out the woodwork. But for the most part, I think the city of Atlanta is mostly behind Matt Ryan. You know, he had the MVP season 2 years ago. For most of the season, he's been putting up, you know, numbers comparable to that. And most of the question marks in terms of his down year in 2017 were more focused on the play calling than it was necessarily his performance. So I don't feel like there's as many questions around Matt Ryan, but you're always going to hear sort of, you know, that talk whenever you have a high profile quarterback that doesn't have necessarily bling on his hand to sort of quiet all sort of backlash or criticism and whatnot. So yeah, I would say, you know, if I was putting a percentage on it, I would probably say it's like 80% support and then 20% sort of people saying whatever they want to say, maybe calling him Matty Puddles and whatnot, that type of stuff.
Oh man, it sounds good.
Aaron Freeman, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Falcons, Locked On Cardinals, crossover Wednesday here. And 4-9, the Falcons, from an outsider's perspective, it's a lot harder to kind of dissect what really went wrong. And we've talked about it a little bit in this podcast. When we were sitting here a couple weeks ago, Aaron, we were looking at a Green Bay Packers team that we thought the Cardinals had no chance of going into Lambeau and beating. And it was going to be a get-right game for Aaron Rodgers and crew. That ended up being a loss for the Packers. That ended up being the end of the Mike McCarthy era there in Green Bay. I'm seeking out a reason to think, besides that big misfire on our part that week, why this isn't a get right game for the Atlanta Falcons. Can you tell me why I'm wrong in that thinking?
Well, I mean, it certainly could be. I mean, we've been basically waiting for a get right game for the Falcons for several weeks now, and they just not come. They haven't come yet. And so, you know, once you establish a pattern and you sort of assume that pattern's going to keep going. And so I think the thing that you like about the Falcons in this game is, you know, they do have the talent. They, you know, their pass rush has been very poor this year, but given some of the issues of the Cardinals on their offensive line due to those injuries, given some of the injuries to some of the skill position players, given some of the question marks with some of their play calling, from at least my perspective, and I'm curious what your guys' thoughts on it, but it seems like the Cardinals' offense under Byron Leftwich these last couple of weeks has been extremely vanilla. And so it seems to play towards at least away from the Falcons' weakness on defense. But then you have the issue with the Falcons' offense going up against a underrated and pretty solid Cardinals defense, from what I gather, with one of the league's better pass rushes, with a solid secondary. You have Patrick Peterson, who can, you know, potentially lock down Julio Jones and has done so in the past, as recently as 2016. And then with the Falcons' other offenses, you know, having a running game that hasn't been as reliable, having question marks on the offensive line, and basically their young phenom wide receiver in Calvin Ridley, who got off to a very fast start early in the season but has gone quiet, maybe has hit the rookie wall. They're dealing with an injury to tight end Austin Hooper, who's been sort of a reliable sort of underneath sort of chain-moving security blanket for Matt Ryan. So there's still a lot of question marks with the Falcons this week, and so this is a game that I do think is very winnable for the Falcons, but is also potentially losable to the Falcons if they're not able to sort of do the things that they need to do in order to take advantage of some of the favorable matchups, which has been a problem these last couple of weeks as they've lost five straight games.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying about Byron Leftwich and his vanilla play calling. I think that's maybe a product of, as you mentioned, the offensive line, which is being held together by popsicle sticks and scotch tape at this point. They're bringing guys off the street and they're making starts for this team, and it's a disaster. I mean, it was a disaster to start with. Steve Keim, the general manager for the Cardinals, misfired on trying to identify solutions to their biggest problem coming out of last season, and it's just festered and become something worse. And Byron Leftwich had to take over from Mike McCoy, who instilled and plugged in a game plan. and a philosophy that was a disaster. And I think he's been trying to do his best with what he's been given, and also the circumstances of him being a first-time play caller and not doing anything beyond being a quarterback's coach for this team, as well as dealing with the injuries on this offensive line and lack of playmakers. Look at the wide receiver position, Aaron. It's Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, who is lost for the season with a foot injury. Beyond that, there weren't guys. Nobody's made any plays, let alone made any catches, any receptions. I mean, there's just nobody there. And David Johnson has struggled week in and week out, with a few exceptions, to really find that success he had in 2016. I like what I've seen from Byron Leftwich. The statistics would prove to you that this offense has improved, but, you know, I mean, that's putting lipstick on a pig. It's not that big. It's still going to be an issue where they're going to finish either 32nd or 31st in this league in total offense, and it's a complete just disaster. And as bad as the pass rush has been for the Falcons, I can't imagine that they're going to have a tough time getting to the quarterback on Sunday. This is going to continue to be a theme throughout the 2018 season for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think Bo and I should both win a separate Pulitzer each for saying the same sentence in 3,000 different ways this season. Because that's one way that Bo did it, and he hasn't said it in that way. We just have different angles of how to say this offense is one of the worst in NFL history. It just is. We have David Johnson in the backfield. The Cardinals have David Johnson in the backfield, who going into this season was looked at as a top three back. Going into last season, he was looked at as arguably the best running back in the league with Le'Veon Bell 1 and 1A. He breaks his wrist last year. This year, not even Barry Sanders could do anything with how bad this offensive line is. So there's something to what Bo said is correct, and he said it 2,999 different ways, and that is a 3,000th, and we should both get a Pulitzer. So on the defensive side of the ball, I have been sticking up for this defense and Steve Wilks as a glorified defensive coordinator all year. I think this defense is a top seven, top eight defense in the NFL. And that may not be saying as much this year as it has in years past because of how absent defenses have been. But with Patrick Peterson being Patrick Peterson, and with this pass rush anchored by Chandler Jones, the linebacking core has been better than people expected this year. Hassan Reddick, Josh Bynes was really the light that we were missing here as media watching a budding star, and he's on IR. So the defense has been the anchor for this team. And even if you look at the final scores, there was a 34-0 drubbing in LA against the Rams, and the 45-10 Thursday Night Football debacle against the Broncos. Those really weren't all the defense's fault. It was Josh Rosen having 5 turnovers on Thursday Night Football and the offense not being able to stay on the field the majority of the year. That's the main culprit in the inability for the defense to keep teams from scoring, is that they're on the field 60 to 70% of the game. So I think that what we saw in Green Bay and what we will probably see on Sunday against Atlanta is a team that has an offense that's maybe 10% better since Mike McCoy's left, but that may yield 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes that the defense doesn't have to be on the field, which allows them to stay more rested, which allows them to perform better when they are on the field. So this is really two teams in one that belongs in the NFL and one that doesn't with the offense. So that's what we've been struggling with all year.
Yeah, I think fair point. I'll be curious to sort of see whether or not they can get something going, because the Falcons' defense has just been very, you know, it's arguably the worst, statistically, depending on what source you look at, it's the worst defense in the NFL. They haven't been able to stop the run. They haven't really been able to get pressure on the quarterback. They've given up big plays through the air and whatnot. So, you know, this may be the game, playing in the friendly confines of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This may be the game that sort of gives the Cardinals defense or Cardinals offense a shot in the arm to sort of at least look competent. And if the Cardinals defense can hold the Falcons offense to a low scoring number, which based off of how the Falcons offense has performed the past couple of weeks against some quality defense and struggled to get into double digits in several of these games, then I think this is a winnable game for the Cardinals. I wouldn't necessarily predict it to be a win, but nothing is going to surprise me if the Cardinals find a way to upset the Falcons in a similar way that they did to the Packers a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we'll talk about this on the other side. You know what? I'll just tease it that way. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Aaron Freeman. We'll be right back. All right, wrapping up here. Crossover Wednesday, Locked On Podcast Network. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. Aaron Freeman, Locked On Falcons. So, you said something interesting, Aaron, before the break. Going into Sunday, if the Cardinals lose, that's good. If the Falcons lose, that's still bad for the fan base. And I think it's because we've been gearing up here in Phoenix for a tough season. We didn't expect it to go like this. But now I think everybody's on board that the more you lose, the better it is to get a higher draft pick. It's just what it seems to be. The Falcons and fan base, tell me if I'm incorrect here, but I'm making an assumption that, as you stated before, the Falcons haven't been in this predicament probably since they went into the draft and moved up to draft Julio Jones, and they didn't even have that low of a draft pick that year. So it's still going to be a detriment to the fan base and the team if there is a loss this Sunday, but I think a loss for the Cardinals will be as celebrated as a loss can be celebrated this Sunday.
Well, it's interesting because I tweeted out earlier this week that if the Falcons lose to the Cardinals this week, there's going to be a lot of firings this week. And the response to that tweet was pretty positive from at least people that follow me on Twitter and whatnot, and in terms of fans. So I do think the Falcons fan base is actually hoping that the Falcons tank the rest of the season, because I think for a lot of fans, sort of looking at some needed changes, particularly with the coaching staff, especially at the two coordinator spots, those two guys have come under a lot of scrutiny as of late, as this team has gone on this losing skid. So I feel like a lot of fans are sort of hopeful that the team sort of, you know, quote unquote tanks, and it continues to lose games, so that can sort of facilitate some wholesale changes on both sides of the ball to their coaching staff, as well as put them in a position to draft potentially that difference maker that can really sort of revamp their pass rush moving forward, that the team hoped and thought Vic Beasley would be and looked like he might be early in his career, but sort of has fallen by the wayside as of late, and sort of as this team hopes to rebuild their defense, you know, on the backs and on the shoulders of one of these elite pass rushers that I mentioned earlier in the show.
Yeah, I mean, getting into the game, Aaron, and outside of the old any given Sunday cliche, I just can't put or predict that the Arizona Cardinals are going to have any success making their way across the country, playing an early game, going up against an offense that still has firepower. I know Devontae Freeman is out with the groin injury. I like how Matt Ryan. Let's just call him by his name. Matt Ryan still has the ability to make some throws, and he did at the end of the game against the Packers after being kind of bottled up for most of the game. Matt Ryan, this offense, you know, Ito Smith. We saw a guy named Zach Zenner carve up the Arizona Cardinals defense on the ground last week. I imagine this rush attack is still enough to put up big numbers against this Cardinals defense. Julio Jones is a monster. Calvin Ridley is a problem. I mean, Patrick Peterson can only defend one player on the field. This is going to be a disaster. Well, I mean, I don't know if the Arizona Cardinals, I mean, this is a team that was basically shut out last week. They got 3 points. They scored 3 points at home against the struggling Detroit Lions team. This is a get-right game for the Falcons, in my opinion. I think that they win 31-6.
What happened 2 weeks ago? They went into Lambeau, arguably the toughest place to play aside from Foxborough in the history of the NFL. Maybe Soldier Field when the Bears were good in the 80s. With this team and this franchise and it never doing anything right, what makes you think that this won't be a close game? If they win this game on Sunday, this will screw their chances for a top five pick. This could drop them to like 7. This is a game that I don't think they're going to win, but I think that this will keep us on the edge of our seat with the Falcons inevitably winning. So I will say Falcons 24, Cardinals 17, and Tevin Coleman has a career day. This is a day where you don't want to play Tevin Coleman in fantasy football. You just don't. Because these are things, Chris Thompson, Theo Riddick, anybody undersized that can catch the ball out of the backfield that can also run will have a career day against the Cardinals, and that's what I believe will happen.
I agree with you. I just don't think the Cardinals' offense is capable of putting up
17
points.
I hope you're right. Aaron, give it to me.
Well, look, if the Falcons play the way they've played the last couple of games, then this is going to be a very low scoring game, similar to that Lions game where basically neither team seemed too interested in running away with it until the Lions started putting up some points later as the game wore on. But I do think this is going to be sort of a low scoring, we'll put competitive in air quotes, because it's going to be two teams that are really struggling. But it will look close on the scoreboard. So I'm going with the Falcons winning like 20-13.
Man, I just hope the Cardinals lose. Seriously. And listen, I don't know why people don't say that more. It's like, oh, it's taboo. It's not like saying you're in love with your wife's best friend or something. What? It's just you don't want your team at this point, even though they have to be mathematically eliminated right?
They absolutely are. 3-10, they're done. But I mean, I understand what you're saying about you hope they lose and when the final whistle blows, that's fine. But if it's another uninspired effort where it's just brutal to watch, that's not good for anybody.
Well, Bo, we could have this conversation that we want Steve Keim gone, and every time they lose, there's one more, I don't know, he falls one more rung down the ladder from the GM tower. So I feel like it would be a good thing for everybody. Aaron, Locked On Falcons, Aaron Freeman, dude, thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
And good luck. Have them.
Yeah.
Just punish the Cardinals this weekend.
I just want an entertaining game. Want an entertaining game. Right? I don't care what the result is. Just don't follow me for 3 hours.
Same. Thanks, dude.
All right, man.
Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. We will check you guys tomorrow to talk more about the game on Sunday.